This is a FUBAR Radio podcast. Visit FUBARradio.com for more details.
Sarah Hugh and Doc 2 on FUBAR Radio.
That's right, because you're tuned into the sounds of the Mrs. DJ. It's Sarah Love. And normally it's Sarah Hugh and Doc 2, but I think the boys are voting with their feet, or it's like silent protest. So you're just tuned into the sounds of Sarah Love on FUBAR Radio, taking care of you until 6 p.m. What's up, party people? As usual, we're going to have a jam-packed show for you. And that includes, we're going to be having a super special guest on the show this week, Nathan Catton. That guy is seriously funny. I cannot wait to meet him. So keep it locked. That's coming up later. Every week we do some No They Didn't, because there's so many ridiculous things going on out there that we need to get to the bottom of. So we'd love to hear from you guys and get your opinions about all of that good stuff. Doc, I hear he is on his way and he is going to be here to rap about anything that you like. So make sure you hit us up at twitter.com / FUBAR Radio, and you can email us too at shd@fubarradio.com with your suggestions of what subjects you would like Doc to rap about this week. Last week he rapped about guinea pigs, which was quite revealing, really. It was quite, I'm always really impressed with your suggestions as well of what you would like Doc to rap about. We've already had some suggestions too, so make sure you keep them coming, because Doc needs a while to go through it all and then decide what he really feels passionate about, what gives him a bit of fire in his belly. So hit us up with your suggestions. And every week, you know, we have to ask you guys what in this last week has made you say, are you taking the piss? Because too many people out there are taking the piss, whether that's your friends, the government, TV actors, whoever it is. Oh, I see some commotion at the door. Something is happening. Speaking of, are you taking the piss? Right on cue, Doc. Just as I'm discussing, are you taking the piss? In rolls the forever fashionably late.
Forever fashionably late. That's quite, yeah, it's difficult to say.
Yeah, but is Mr. Doc? Doc Brown, yes.
Good afternoon,
everybody.
How are
you doing? You made it.
Driven from Dulwich.
Lovely.
It took me nearly 2 hours.
Yeah. See, this is why you cycle. This is why you cycle. Why were you in a car anyway?
Because it was raining.
Oh, it must have moved. Yeah, because the rain stopped quite a while ago in North London, so it must have taken you a minute.
When it's pissing with rain, I just can't handle it.
No, can't handle it. Just a step too far for me. You ain't built like that.
Nah.
But remember last week what I told you, what Swedish people say?
What did they say?
They say there's no such thing as bad weather, only bad clothing.
Bloody Swedes.
Bloody Swedes and their smart remarks. But I was just telling the people what an ill show we've got lined up.
Yeah,
we've got the homeboy Nathan Catton coming in.
Yes, Caton.
Caton.
He's not catting anybody.
Sorry.
His stuff's original.
Sorry. Well, I've not met him before, and
yeah,
I was just saying that I'm really looking forward to meeting him.
Yeah, he's a good guy.
So, yes, yeah, so that's coming up late, so you need to keep tuned. I was telling the people as well, they've got to hit us up with their suggestions for what they would like you to rap about. And already we've had some suggestions come through on Twitter.
Nice.
So, you know, you've got to bombard us and capture Doc's imagination.
There you go. Yeah, keep them coming in.
Yes, exactly. And then, of course, are you taking the piss? Which this week is ruled by Doc rolling up at... I don't think this is the latest you've turned up for, actually.
No, I've come later than this.
Yeah, pause. But, Doc is here for are you taking the piss? Hugh, unfortunately, is ill today. He's. I think the season change is kind of like... caught him off his poor gentle Australian self off guard. So Hugh will not be joining us. So yes, Doc and I will be taking you through Are You Taking the Piss? But we end the show with like just venting, as English people do, about all the things in the world that we think are just total liberties with Are You Taking the Piss? But we like to kick things off like on a positive tone. Because I think there's so many good people out there, like, you know, going above and beyond to do good things for society. And in my opinion, they really deserve.
Big up.
Yes.
Stick up.
I know.
It's quite negative, the other half of that line. That's what I always think when you play it.
It's a stick up, and I'm shooting on the longest of the thing. Hiccup. Wow, he was pretty good.
he was decent, wasn't he?
Oh, speaking of Biggie, as one of these best rappers of all time often gets called, and the other dude, Tupac. My niece was telling me there's a kid in her class called Tupac.
Wow.
I know. I was like, that's brilliant. And that's there's crazy. A kid in her class called Sade.
Well, yeah, I know a couple of Sade's. Yeah. But I've never met anyone called Tupac before. But Tupac is a name. Do you know what I mean? It's because he stylized it with the number two in the PAC, we think of it as just a rapper's name.
He got hip-hop
with it. But it is a name.
It.
It's just rare.
Yeah.
That's all.
He came with the hip-hop spellings. Mm. Yeah, no, my niece did. She did. Was keen to point out to me that, no, it's spelled T-U-P-A-C.
Yes.
And so I was correct. Like, but I was very surprised by that. But yes, speaking of...
Big up!
This week, I have to send a massive big up to the man that I was quite surprised the other week, Doc, to hear that you hadn't heard of him before.
Edward Snowden?
Yeah.
Well, you know how I heard of him? It was in a somewhat humorous fashion. I got sent a video of a guy being interviewed by an irate CNN reporter. Have you seen this?
No, I'm not sure.
Basically, she doesn't realise that he's just completely and utterly trolling her, like live on the news.
Some random interview.
Just a random guy who's claiming to be an expert on this whole situation.
Okay.
And she's like, don't you think he should be tried here in the US? We got to get him out of Russia. And the guy's like, no, I just think people should leave him alone. You know, just because he was born with scissors for hands, like on top of a mountain. Why are people like so hard on him? And she's like, yeah, listen, I just think it's disgusting. I think he's a danger to American society. And he's like, yeah, a lot of people said that about him, you know. And a lot of people do say that about outcasts, you know, just because he was made by some form of magic. And he has, you know, a constant sad face and the black lipstick and all this stuff.
She was just oblivious.
Yeah, it's like she was having a stroke or something. She just didn't notice that he was talking about Edward Scissorhands, even though he named Edward Scissorhands by name 3 times during the interview.
So this was broadcast on CNN?
Yeah, this was on the news.
It's incredible the amount of foolish things that I see broadcast on CNN.
Well,
like when they have maps of countries and it's like, yes, London, but it's really pointing to like Rio or something.
I think once they get into live news, they just stop caring. They're just like, this is the agenda. Let's just get this across.
It all falls to pieces. But no, Edward Snowden, for me, I think he deserves a super.
Big up!
Because dude has literally like put his life
on the line. There's no question.
Like for all of us. And it's pretty deep, really. Because, I mean, he did this like first interview that I think he's ever done on TV or something on Panorama last night, so definitely go check that out because it was pretty scary basically. I think in 2013 he had to run and hide in exile in Moscow because he did used to work for like the American spy agency, the NSA.
That's right.
And the things that he was seeing in his work basically led him to say, okay, I've got to make a moral decision here. Either I just chill and get paid, or I'm going to like let people know what's really going on. And he was able to like see evidence that of all the illegal, crazy stuff that the government are doing. The government, they can track your calls, who you text, things you browse on the internet, your list of contacts, places you've been, all kinds of crazy, crazy stuff. But yeah, in this Panorama interview yesterday, he basically was like running through some of this stuff. And this is the scary things that your government are doing to you, people.
Dreamy Smurf is the power management tool, which means turning your phone on or off without you knowing.
Even if I've turned my phone off.
Right.
And then we've got Nosy Smurf. What's Nosy Smurf?
Nosy Smurf is the hot miking tool. So, for example, if it's in your pocket, they can turn the microphone on and listen to everything that's going on around you.
Tracker Smurf. What's Tracker Smurf?
That's a geolocation tool which allows them to follow you with a greater precision than you would get from the typical triangulation of cell phone tower. They want to own your phone instead of you.
Basically, they are succeeding. That's yes, terrifying. That was basically Edward Snowden talking about this program that the NSA, in conjunction with GCHQ, which is the UK's spy agency, worked together to do. And they've named all of these secret spying things that they do on all of us after the Smurfs, which even just adds to the sinister...
the creepiness of it.
Yeah, it's like, these people are just freaks, man.
Yeah,
and then I think a lot of people say, well, look, if you're not doing anything wrong, then what's the big problem? The government need to do whatever they're doing. But I think that argument doesn't really work.
Like, no, because it's just a step too far. Because, you know, I mean, you've seen like people who aren't doing anything wrong getting their phones tapped and all of that. Do you know what I mean? And like, it just invades your privacy, makes you feel uncomfortable, you know? But you know what? Whilst that was playing, as scary as it was, I thought to lighten the mood, I find that segment I was talking about, it's actually on HLN, not CNN, but it really is. It's it should brighten your day. I wonder if I can make this play.
I wonder if we,
does this work? Can you hear that?
Oh, there we go.
Oh, you got it. Yeah. Turn that on. Can you hear me
now? Turn that shit up. Is your volume on?
Yeah, it's up.
That tweet got more than 99,000 retweets and more than 90,000 favorites. Just look at how quickly the news spread around the entire world.
Maybe we'll need to come back to that where we can hear it properly.
It's too quiet.
Yeah. That's we're gonna come back to that shortly. But yeah, so I just thought, you know, definitely go check out the Panorama interview with the man Edward Snowden, who's literally on the run for his life, because he's hiding out in Moscow.
In Russia,
The only assurance he's given by the American government is that if he returns to America, he won't be tortured.
Nice.
So welcome to the show. It's FUBAR Radio with Sarah and Doc. Keep it locked because we've got some No They Didn't coming up. But first, let's hit you with something completely fresh from the main man, the OG, Roots Manuva. It's always nice to hear your favourites back, isn't it? Because you know how like people duck out of the scene for so long and you're like, hold on, how can you just leave me high and dry like that? That's something fresh from him. Yeah. And that's also what I appreciate with Roots Manuva. He's not afraid to do some out there things and break the rules.
Yeah, he's never really followed the sort of tried
status quo
rap format, has he?
Exactly. And you're tuned into FUBAR Radio with myself, Sarah, and Doc taking care of you this week. Hit us up on the email, shd@fubarradio.com, and Twitter @FUBARRadio. Send your suggestions through of what you would like Doc to rap about. I wonder, do you think your kids are ever embarrassed by your hip-hopness?
Constantly.
Standardly.
Yeah, it's weird. I mean, it's kind of like, it depends. It's because you got the 4 o'clock club thing, you know, the kids show I created, which is kind of like a hip-hop musical, you know. So like, especially with the older one, all her friends watch it, so it's kind of like intense. There's a level of pride, but then at the same time it just gets embarrassing and or annoying. You know, because sometimes she doesn't know if like kids want to talk to her or if they just want to talk to her because I'm her dad.
That's the whack thing about being famous.
That's shit. Mm-hmm. So, you know, there's two sides to it. But on the whole, yeah, I tend to embarrass them, especially the older one. I mean,
you try your best to.
Oh yeah, I make every effort to, you know,
concerted effort.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just the last enjoyable thing you can do, like, that gets
before you're
your
out of here.
Especially with teenagers. You know?
It's your right. You've earned. Yeah, really. Like,
last bit of power you have. Mm-hmm. Hey, listen. If you have anything that is taking the piss out of your life, don't forget at 5:30, we're going to be getting right into your emails, phone calls, even tweets. Let us know what's pissing you off. The rap about anything will be at 5 to 6. And we'll be talking some serious embarrassing dad stuff as well, no question. I mean, me personally, I think I'm constantly embarrassing, but it's probably more to my wife, I guess. Because then I just won't grow up. Do you know what I'm saying? Like, it's clearly never going to happen. Like, if it wasn't going to happen at like 25, which is when it should have happened, it's not going to happen now. Do you know what I'm saying? 10 years later, like, forget about it. I'm always gonna be this guy. It's just gonna get sweatier and fatter, and well, even more embarrassing as I actually genuinely start to look old.
Is this a decision you've made?
It's not a decision. I just realise I can't fight. I can't fight the feeling. I can't fight innate reaction. I can't fight nature. Do you know what I'm saying? I'm a very deeply, profoundly childish man.
But that's why we love you.
So
what we love about you. I think that's a great thing.
If I changed, it'd be weird.
If you can hold on to the childishness.
Yeah, that's how I like to look at it.
That's something
but
to
obviously
big up.
It's embarrassing sometimes to people.
I think, you know? This week, though, the award for embarrassing dad had to go to one of my heroes, Mr. George Osborne.
Oh, wow. I mean, this is nuts.
I'm being completely sarcastic, by the way. That guy just seems like a cretin, devil-worshipping, I don't know, like, man sick in the head or something.
But he's George Osborne.
He's old school evil. Yeah, like medieval evil.
Yeah, like little hoofs and shit.
Yeah, proper. And, sacrifices at the altar and all that kind of business. Yeah, but no, George Osborne, definitely, he had to win the Most Embarrassing Dad award this week. And I think, if you hadn't heard, this is the Tory Chancellor, George Osborne. He revealed that he's a passionate gangster rap fan, if you buy that. Mm. And he claimed, this is like the story in the Mail on Sunday, that he went to the NWA concert at Brixton Academy back in the early 90s, and it's the best concert he ever went to.
To be fair, like, it's hard to hate him on that. He went in the early 90s. I'm jealous.
I'm dubious.
I would have loved to have seen NWA in the early 90s.
Oh, yeah. Hell yeah.
But I have to say, I don't recall them coming to Brixton in the early 90s. So I guess maybe they did.
Well, they did. And I have an eyewitness who was on the ground. But yes.
For real?
Yeah. Okay. No, but that's, I'm just wondering even if this actually happened. No?
Do you think he said the N-word, like, when he was in the crowd? It's always tricky. It's always tricky for white fans of hip hop. Do you know what I mean? Like, they don't want to have to say it, but sometimes they just get caught up in the excitement and have one too many ciders.
Which is why I love that Sean Price Farrah Munch song. And they're like, white people don't recite the chorus. But maybe we should. Someone needs to challenge him on that. Whether he was singing along to all the lyrics of the tune, I don't know if I even buy this story. I think he's just trying to be down.
Yeah, it just seems such a random one to pick. NWA, like, that's pretty intense, pretty extreme. And like I said, I don't remember the gig, but hey, listen, he told the Mail on Sunday who he thought probably wouldn't check up on the shit, so, you know.
He said his daughter, however, she's definitely embarrassed by him, understandably. I mean, he is a dickhead. She's banned him from going with her to see the Taylor Swift concert. Because he is really uncool.
You see, this will happen to me with a concert or a club night of some kind. It will happen to me. But you know what? I don't have a problem with that at all. Like, if I have to drop my daughters off at the concert and then pick them up afterwards on a nondescript street, that's so fine by me. That's like 2.5 hours for me to do whatever the fuck I want.
No, do you know what that's called?
It's a beautiful thing.
That's when you get elevated as a parent to taxi driver.
Yeah, yeah.
Wait for that whole phase of life to begin.
Yeah,
your kids are still a little bit too young to be hiring you as their taxi driver. And then it goes on until you stop driving, basically.
Yeah, yeah.
I can testify to that.
One of us dies, it'll be me.
she definitely thinks it's uncle. I think he's just trying a little bit too hard to be down. He also revealed that he sends texts with emoticons to cabinet ministers, and he really has a penchant for the one with sunglasses.
The fuck is he doing here? Is he trying to get like the black vote or something? It's really embarrassing.
It is really embarrassing.
What's more embarrassing than any of this is just the fact that he's brought it up at all.
I know, but that's why I'm saying this is so bait, because he's blatantly
the penchant for the one with sunglasses on.
Come on, man.
Just allow it. Like, no one expects you. No one wants this from him. You know what I mean?
Yeah, we just want you.
It's not going to make anyone suddenly go, well, that's fine then.
Actually,
yeah,
instead
I'm totally
of voting for Corbyn, I'll go with the Tories instead.
Yeah.
I think I smell a rat. I feel like it's them trying to, they're seeing how young people are loving Jeremy Corbyn and that, and they're like, right, how can we relate? And then he saw the Straight Out of Compton film.
That's it.
He's okay, let me pretend.
It's the only rap thing he
liar.
Could think of.
Yes.
Because the movies are.
Exactly. And he missed the Tupac hologram performance. Yeah, but I think that he definitely has. I mean, it's embarrassing me, and I'm not even his child, even though I'd already be embarrassed by him if I was his child without this being revealed to. But yeah, it definitely made me think about like embarrassing dad stories. I know we've all got them. I know I've got. I mean, it's the story of my life.
You're an embarrassing aunt. Is that what you're telling me? Or are you talking about your dad?
I'm like, am I an embarrassing... You know what? I think everyone secretly likes to think that they're not.
Everyone thinks they're a cool aunt or uncle.
Yeah, or parent. But especially nowadays, people think they're cool parents. But they ain't.
Yeah, yeah, you're right.
And they're
embarrassing.
Right.
I know plenty of those, yeah.
Mind
who
you,
think
my
they're
niece-
not like the embarrassing parents because they dress cool or whatever.
Exactly. My nieces are always stealing my clothes and shoes and everything like that. So
oh, right, because they're teenagers.
They like the same.
Teenagers.
Well, the youngest is 11.
But you're quite petite.
Yes, so she actually like steal my clothes, but but yeah. So I mean, embarrassing parent. My dad is always the loudest person in the club or in the concert or anywhere you are, and it's just like, please. He comes to a lot of my gigs.
Booming voice.
Yeah, proper like.
You don't need that.
What's that? Brian Blessed.
Brian Blessed.
My booming voice. Because when my dad comes to like a hip hop show to see me DJ,
he's like, but then Gordon's alive?
Yes. And then he's the loudest person in the place. It's pretty embarrassing. But I want to know what stories you guys have to share with us. Hit us at twitter.com/foodbarradio or email shd@foodbarradio.com. I want to know these embarrassing dad stories, embarrassing parent stories. Maybe you're an embarrassing parent like Doc is.
Yeah. Maybe it's all down to you.
Yeah.
Like, give us the truth. Don't piss about. Tell us how embarrassing you really are.
Yeah.
Throw it out there. Hit us. Sorry. shd@foodbarradio.com or tweet us at foodbarradio. You know, parents are
the
same
no matter time or place. The classic from Will Smith. And he just announced in the last 24 hours he's making a musical comeback.
Now, this should be in the embarrassing dad section of the show. Really,
that's what
it?
I'm wondering.
I mean,
that's what I'm wondering.
Just no way he should come back.
Do you know what I'm saying?
But I'm going to be brutally honest here. By the time Parents Just Don't Understand came out, he was losing it. Like that song was the first.
That was like 1988.
That's what I'm saying.
So
like,
basically, had one.
That was the
song.
First one that I heard where I thought, "Oh, this is actually really whack." Like, I found it really boring. It just the story. It just goes on and on. There's no chorus. And that, like you say, that was a long time ago.
It's
and then the less we say about Millennium, the better. You know?
Downhill. I did hear this news, but
people
we'll
say
get
I'm
into
soft.
That later.
Do you remember that? People say I'm soft. Yeah, Microsoft.
Boo! That gets the thumbs down emoticon from George Osborne.
Oh my
who,
God.
Yes, we've been discussing like embarrassing dads, where well, Doc is accepting that he's probably an embarrassing dad.
Yeah, I accept that.
I'm probably an embarrassing auntie, even if I don't want to face it. Our homeboy George Osborne is definitely an embarrassing dad. He's trying to be cool and everything and say that he was at the NWA concert in the early 90s. I'm not calling him a liar or anything, but I'm wondering whether if he's just trying to like get those young people votes. But on the line we have like a certified legend of UK hip hop history. Fresh, can you hear me?
Hell yeah.
Just your voice always makes me smile. How are you doing, man?
Yeah, I'm all good, yo. It's all gravy on chicken, you know?
Yes, I know it. And you know what? Fresh is someone that I've known from, like, for about 15 years from the early record store days down, like, Deal Real, Berwick Street kind of times. And Fresh is this person who's been to, like, every classic show, the time when there was, like, the riot at the Busta Rhymes concert, all these ill things. So I knew Fresh would have been at this NWA show in the early 1990s with George Osborne. Did you see George? Did you go with George Osborne to the NWA show?
Say who? Say what?
I don't associate with those people. No, but you saw NWA at Brixton Academy, right, back in the day?
Hell yeah. I was right up in the front when Eazy-E pulled out a starter pistol. I thought, what the hell was this? Mm-hmm. Are they pulling out a gun on stage?
Wow. So, but he didn't actually let off shots, did he?
Nah, yeah, he did. But it was like kind of like a cap gun and all that.
Oh, okay, so that was all right.
Yeah, but he pulled it out from out of the middle of nowhere.
Crazy. I'm so jealous that you got to see NWA in that like
that's
golden
nice,
time
yeah.
of window. You know, that'll never happen again now.
Was Cube still in the lineup at that point, or had he gone by then?
Unfortunately, no. That was after Cube left. That was after the time when they were throwing around Ice Cube, symbolizing who the hell's Ice Cube.
Oh, seen. No Vaseline days.
So what review would you give of the show? It sounds like it was pretty gangster.
Hell yeah.
So if you heard that a Tory MP had been at that show with you, does he get kudos in your opinion?
For when he's Tory, he ain't getting no props, whether he was or he wasn't.
Say it how you think it, Fresh. Say it how you think it. But in the scale of like your favourite hip-hop concerts, how does that NWA one like fit into the scheme of things?
That's up there.
Wow. Along with what other shows?
Well, one of the illest was EPMD, Gangstar and Public Enemy at the Brixton Academy.
Oh my goodness. That just sounds like a dream come true to me.
And the Cold Chillin' Juice Crew tour with Mr. Magic.
Marley Marl, Roxanne Shante, MC Shan, Big Daddy Kane.
What?
Called you up on Polo.
This is just like a mythical, it sounds like story, you know, it's just mythical things you're talking about to me. I can't even believe these things actually happen. But no, there's this dude who's came into be. Thank you so much, Fresh Loaf, for like giving us the background story on how gangster this concert was that our Tory guy, George Osborne, claimed to have been at. And Fresh, thanks so much for joining us. Have a wicked day, yeah?
No, you're welcome.
Lots of love.
Also, can I just mention, Run DMC, Public Enemy, EPMD, Sessa Sonic, and DJ Scratch was DJing for Derek B.
Oh, my
God.
That
was one hell of a show.
That is incredible. I'm so pleased you were there, even if I wasn't able to make it. Do you know what I'm saying? But look, have a good day, Fresh, yeah?
Well, thanks for inviting me and having me on the show and that, yeah?
Oh, I hope to speak to you again on the show and introduce you gradually to the Foo Bar listeners, because Fresh has got, like, stories for days. But, yeah, so it sounded pretty gangster. So I think if George Osborne was there, he was really about that lifestyle, it sounds. But I'm
briefly.
Not. Yeah, briefly. But he didn't really seem to have much else to refer to beyond just, yes, I was there and it was jolly good. But I think it's still pretty embarrassing. I wouldn't have liked to have... I don't know if I'd like to really go to, if George Osborne was my dad, have gone to an NWA concert with him.
Yeah, I mean, that would have been painful. But I mean, I'm presuming that George at the time, he's a young man, isn't he? So at the time he would have been
Pickney.
Like 20. Yeah.
Yeah, he's probably like...
So he would have been close
straight
to
straight out of uni!
Considered
no, he
cool.
was straight out of Oxford at that time. He was. Yeah. But yeah, no, we want to hear from your... from
but you
guys.
Don't know, like, you don't know. You could go to a rap concert tonight with the future Prime Minister. Do you know what I mean? You don't know who's in the crowd.
Mm-hmm. Nothing. I know, we're priming
there's
them.
There's no rules that could stop them from getting in, unfortunately, so...
So, sadly, NWA did not help, you know, impact Tory policies. Or maybe they did, actually. It's
maybe
pretty capitalist, yeah, sort of outlook on life, isn't it? So, yeah, maybe that is where their inspiration comes from. But I want to know more embarrassing parent stories. Hit us up on the Twitter at FUBAR Radio.
And or email us at shd@fubarradio.com. Let us know how you feel.
Yes, I think another, like, this isn't an embarrassing parent song. This is more like, yeah, let's give mama props. The story behind this track is super ill too, because his grandma actually told him to say this.
Really?
That beat is bananas.
It's a classic.
That is just two bananas. And you know what I love about LL? Even though he does kind of make me cringe a little bit nowadays sometimes.
He had that from the start, though. Every other song could be a little bit cringy, but there's no denying. That's the difference between him and Will Smith. Like, this dude could actually spit, like, when he wanted to. It's just a lot of the time he just sort of was just like, just do this.
He was trying to get the girls.
Yeah, it was always a little bit embarrassing.
Licking his lips. But what an amazing career story. And it's just crazy when you just think how he started. Because when he came out, he was just a teenager.
Yeah, 15.
And then to think, like, the arc of his story of his career is just...
insane.
You know, there's not many other people who rival it. What, you've got, like, Busta Rhymes. There's not many other people, really, who have done it on his kind of scale and made it into, like, mainstream recognition, kind of just
I think
acceptance.
It's like, in terms of his arc, it's more like Will Smith, you know what I mean? Like, moving out of the rap world into TV and movies and whatnot. No one can really touch Will Smith's arc. It's just he never really made good music, whereas LL
yeah,
did.
Yeah, see, I don't even really see him as like a sort of bona fide, like,
when it comes to like just
sort of
just the music, longevity wise, I don't think you can really look much further than someone like Busta, because he was there in like 88 doing his thing.
Yeah.
And he's not really, like, for me, he's not really done anything that whack apart from that song with the Pussycat Dolls, which I'll never forgive him for. But
and even the other day, I was listening back to that Big Bang Theory
album. Yeah, the Big Bang's
album.
A dope
there's
album.
There's amazing
Extinction
tracks on there.
Extinction Level Event, there's some bangers
and
on there.
And it's just a shame he's a bit crazy nowadays.
Is
seems.
He?
Yeah,
crazy
like
how?
He's. Just, I think. Well, he seems a bit roided out in it. I mean, I don't know if he is or not.
Yeah, maybe.
And then he's in love with the Coco, promoting foolishness like that.
There's a lot of neck. He's got a lot of neck.
More
neck
than body.
More neck
body.
Than head and body, yeah. Yeah. He's got like a little head, and then the neck is like the same width as his shoulders.
Yeah. So it's
kind of
confusing.
Yeah. It's confusing.
It's confusing.
Alistair D. Murray has emailed in to say how embarrassed he was watching music on TV with his sons and asking, where's Trainer? When they were watching a Meghan Trainor video, because he thought it was like a girl and a guy, like Meg and Trainer, Oh, he's like, okay, I see Meg. Where's Trainer?
Was that from Larry and Catherine?
That's from Alistair.
Larry's language is spreading, man.
Larry's great.
He's starting a new
Melissa
trend.
In Essex says her dad likes to play country music. Particularly Bryan Adams, really loud in the car. And what she does is she slides down so low in the back of the car that it looks like he's driving alone just talking to nobody.
I'm backing up her approach there. Yeah,
I don't blame you, Melissa. That's good. Yes, Marcy in Epsom says, hey, girls.
Hey!
I don't really get that reference, but thanks, Marcy. My dad loves to shout out my nickname, Sausage, when I'm out in public with him. And around my friends, it's so cringy.
You're like, please,
Sausage.
Trying to grow out of this.
Oh God, yeah.
Do parents become less embarrassing as you get older?
No, I think they get more embarrassing, definitely.
Yeah.
Because they just start giving less and less of a shit because their job is becoming less and less. Do you know what I mean? Like, you start with a baby and you got to do everything. Then you got like a primary school kid and you got to do like half of everything. And then a teenager, they don't want you involved at all. So you're just sort of like paying their way.
But that's kind of like the zenith of embarrassingness.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying.
Years,
so it just goes up and up and up. It's quite nice. I like that. I'm looking forward to all that shit. Yeah. Lara in Kingston says, my mum still speaks to me in a baby voice.
Oh, God, that's
bad. I'm in
my
20s.
That's bad. But
will she never stop?
You need to talk to her. I think you need to hit us up for, are you taking the piss later as well? Because that is kind of taking the piss. As a full grown adult, that's not healthy.
What about full grown adults who, when you see them around their parents, they call them mummy and daddy?
Like, I call my mummy. No, no, no. I call my mum and dad mummy and daddy.
How are you any different?
I'm part of the problem. I'm perpetuating the problem. I never grew up.
You're part of the problem.
Mummy and daddy.
Not part of the solution.
I call my mummy and daddy with pride.
Christ, get a grip.
I don't know why I never grew out of it where other kids did. It is kind of disturbing. But I rock it with pride.
Well, you shouldn't.
So maybe I'm more embarrassing. Maybe I'm an embarrassment to my parents.
Yeah, you are. Embarrassing.
No, you
children.
Just got to embrace these things, man, and just roll with it.
Oh, the table's turned.
Yes, up. Yes, right. Exactly. Exactly.
Keep those emails coming in. It's shd@foobarradio.com or tweet us at foobarradio or tweet us direct. What's your Twitter handle?
DJ Sarah Love.
DJ Sarah Love. That's pretty cool. You don't have to add any numbers or anything. Boom. First
there's
one
only
there.
Only one.
First one. I bet
there's
you're not
only
the only
one.
There's a DJ Everything, man. There's even a DJ Everything. There's a DJ called
someone
DJ
actually
Everything.
Stole my. They've put up a fake Instagram account with DJ Sarah Love. I'm like, how bizarre is
that's
that?
That's weird.
Like, why? What? Huh? But it's a bit annoying because my pseudonym is DJ Sarah Jane.
Oh, and there is another Sarah Jane.
Who bit my name, yeah.
She bit your name, is that
beef? She fully well knew that I'm DJ Sarah Jane, yeah. Because we used to work at One Extra together.
Yeah, because I remember when I first saw her, I thought, how have they not crossed paths? It must have done.
Oh, yeah, because I was already working like at the BBC when she joined the station. No, but what makes it worse is that she's not even a DJ, so just drop it. Because it's annoying when people like confuse us.
She's like a radio personality.
No. You know,
yeah,
just pressing play doesn't count.
That's messed up. It's hard to find an original DJ name. That's why when I was in Norway and I saw the DJ that was on in this club was called DJ I Got Kids to Feed, I thought, that's the best fucking name.
It's memorable
no one's going to have that.
Yeah, it's memorable.
But yeah, there's a DJ Everything, literally and figuratively.
And it is difficult nowadays when people are trying to look for names that are easy to Google search.
That's another thing.
Yeah.
You got to think about that.
Because if your name is like Cushion... You know, if you type Cushion
DJ
into...
Cushion, the softest DJ in the game, yo. Daniel in Hayes says, what up? My dad shows everyone, and I mean everyone, his miniature chair collection. That's not a euphemism. He shows everyone his miniature chair collection when they come over. So embarrassing.
Wow.
Embarrassing.
That is
horrific, actually.
But at least it's only when they come to the house and you can kind of control.
True,
that
it's not like he's bringing out a little
iPad.
Attaché or
flickbook.
Jesus.
Kind of thing.
Sorry, Daniel, I'm really sorry to hear that.
How do we remedy
Sophie
these
in Chiswick says, hey guys, my dad has the most excruciating dress sense.
Oh,
he wears
God.
All my old band t-shirts. From time ago, yeah,
time
like from the 90s, from the 90s. He thinks it's fine to roam around town with a Nirvana, Pearl Jam or Public Enemy t-shirt on.
That's wicked.
And he doesn't even like them. And just as a PS, she says, he looks like a dick. Thanks, Sophie.
Oh, she's gunning her dad.
Wow, that's harsh. That's quite harsh. Because if I saw like an old dude, because like she's clearly wore these in the 90s. So she's kind of like my age. So her dad... must be like in his 60s, right?
Mm.
I'd actually think a dad wearing like a Public Enemy t-shirt, particularly. I'd like.
That'd be
I
like
respect
props.
That. Yeah, yeah.
I'd be like,
I respect that.
touch on that one.
Do you know what I mean?
I'm still trying to get my hands on a Public Enemy t-shirt.
Yeah, you know what? I think like fucking Primark do them now, man. It's depressing. They do like Nirvana and Run DMC.
I hate it. In there, you see the like they I have like these the Run Bob Marley
thing everywhere. Like when people don't even like they never even heard a Run DMC tune. Yeah. It's like the Ramones t-shirt. But they don't even know who the Ramones are.
But just that's also why I'm wondering who owns that Run DMC logo, because obviously they just done this deal because they're getting like millions.
But you never know, because remember, like Primark put out that t-shirt had a Rihanna's face on it, and then Rihanna was like, I never sanctioned this.
Mm. But then so that's a photo, which is different to the logo. True. So photo, rights the belong to like.
I wonder if Run DMC's like logo designers just fobbed them off and just gone for the big bucks. Who knows? Aaron in Sutton says, my dad never uses a knife when he eats, and he always eats with his mouth open, and he gets it all around his mouth, so I can never take him out to dinner. That's quite sad, isn't it?
But
you'd think like maybe she could just tell him, like, but then I guess sometimes dads are just kind of stuck in their ways.
Yeah, they're like, deal with it, bitch.
Like, bitch, this is how I eat, you know?
I know. Oh, no, that is, I don't want to see the contents of the mouth.
No, neither do I, but, you know,
gone into the mouth.
She says she can't take him to dinner, so Erin, maybe she's confronted him and he's still said, no, this is me.
Well, that's what I was going to say with these embarrassing parent situations. Like, how
they lean into it, I think, after a while.
Yeah.
They lean into it. They start enjoying the shit.
Yeah,
I can relate to that. Because you just feel
like antagonizing.
You know what? Fuck you a little bit. I mean, I love you, but fuck you, you know? Because
I'm so raised broke you. Because of you.
I raised you. I gave you everything I fucking own.
Everything I missed out on
now,
because of you.
I'm going to walk around in your underwear. Deal with it, you know?
I think that's a compliment your dad wants to wear yourself. Actually, my sisters, my nieces, and I, we steal my dad's clothes.
Fair enough.
So,
they're going to be warm. They're going to be big, oversized, snuggle up in them. It's free.
It's free.
Zoe and Bo, says,
all that crap running through your veins.
When I'm out with my dad and he's on the phone to his girlfriend, he calls her stuff like babe and sweetheart.
Oh, God.
Frankly, it makes me want to vomit.
Yeah,
thanks,
fair
Zoe.
Enough.
I mean, that's a whole new level of embarrassment, isn't it, really? Because like your dad's divorced, he's going out with some chick. And then you know, like, your dad's like a sexual being again. And you got to, like, think about that, like, all the time.
Or someone at Fubar Towers was saying earlier about seeing their dad seeing 50 Shades of Grey and how that was just kind of like, sent a bit of a shudder down the spine.
I mean, that's embarrassing on so many different levels because
it's like too much
awful
information.
Film, first off, you shouldn't be going to see films of
don't
that quality.
It. But on top of that, yeah.
Oh,
and
wow.
He liked it. And the Fubar Towers employee's father liked it. He liked
really?
The 50 Shades. And so that just
that.
Added the insult to the injury, didn't it?
I think
it's far too much.
You know what? Before we go to a break, we should have this email as a good way to round this section off because it's quite a shocker to end with. Verity in Enfield says, my mum had a boob job a few years ago. And now she dresses really provocatively with her boobies out.
Oh, my God. What's the girl's name?
Verity.
Verity, have you...
Put it away, mama, she says.
Have you had a discussion with your... I want to know if this has actually ever had a frank discussion about this.
Yeah, I mean, this...
It's cringy, man.
No, that is a big
one,
isn't
it? Like, if you don't know that, but I think everyone should be and dress however they like, as long as they're not hurting other people. But I think it's a bit cringy when you see, like, yeah, the mutton dresses man thing, innit?
Especially if you've got a daughter, because what does it say to your daughter? Like, what, you're trying to be like her, or you're trying to... Her age.
Actually, and I know these mother and daughter where it's like they're in competition with each other. Like, where it's they'll be trying to compete.
That shit happens,
with
man.
Dudes.
That shit happens.
No,
that's
wrong.
Gross.
That's just like.
But what I really love about that email is that she calls tits booby boobies.
Booby boobies.
Yeah, I like
oh, good booby boobies.
Brilliant. Thanks for your emails. Thank you so much. Keep them coming in. Keep your suggestions for the rap about anything coming in. We love hearing from you. Sarah, what we got?
I think this is one of your requests.
Oh, is it? Oh,
yeah.
Nice. Then
so
bang that.
Special out to you. Hold tight, party people. We got a special guest coming up, Nathan Caton. So keep it locked to Fubar. And remember, you can keep hitting us up on SHD at FubarRadio.com. You're tuned into Sarah and Doc. See, it's interesting, isn't it? Even someone who is like considered as cool as Mac Miller, I'm sure, or Eminem or Joey Badass, even their kids will find them embarrassing.
Eventually,
at times.
Yeah.
It's an inevitability.
It just happens to all of us.
Have to embrace. And other embarrassing rappers that we mentioned earlier today, Will Smith, with his comeback tour that he's announced. And
Keith Murray, quite embarrassing.
That was kind of, you know what? Okay, so for people who don't know, there's a rapper from back in the day, Keith Murray. He had some ill tunes, beautifulest thing in this world.
But he always sounded a little bit like a goose.
Yeah,
he?
But that's kind of why we loved him, though. But that's why we loved it. Yeah. And he's just like
and
a character, like
dude,
Redman.
Like, way before Kendrick Lamar, he was the first dude to just be like, this is my name, and what? My name's
yeah.
Keith. My name's
Murray.
Keith Murray.
Keith Murray, mate.
Sounded like a like Premiership footballer, and he just didn't change his name.
And
beautiful
then it's kind of crazy because back in the day, him and Fredro Starr from Onyx had the this ongoing beef, and they were meant to battle for like years and years and years. And now, like 20 years later, they finally made this battle happen. And it, yeah, this was just like 2 days ago. But did you actually watch it, Doc?
I couldn't bear
I couldn't bear either. I was like, no, let me just leave them in that magical rosy time of the 90s and yeah, Onyx and all that good stuff. But no, it was just funny how many people like the guy from Moesha. He's rapping with this other dude. But yeah, no, I couldn't watch it either. It was far too embarrassing. But feel free to like YouTube that Keith Murray versus Fredro Starr battle. These and who's the there's other old school battles that people are calling to happen that I think they just need to leave dead dogs
yeah,
to
I
lie.
Think
you
Mos
know?
Def wanted to battle. No, was it Mos Def? Yeah, he wanted to battle anybody, and then Lupe Fiasco said, all right, then, and then he was
and
like,
then that,
nah.
That story died out, yeah. But no, there was, why am I having a mind block? Wasn't it Big Daddy Kane and dude, they were anyway, but yes, far too many of them. Just keep it moving, peeps. But no, this, and you know, this month, it's Black History Month.
Oh, yeah.
You know what's so confusing about Black History Month is because it's a different month to when it happens in America.
We need to find out what George Osborne's opinion is of it all, you know? And it's
exactly. And we've actually got him on the line right now. George, what do you think of Black History Month? No.
Oh, dear.
You know he has nothing to say about that. Anyway, yes, no, Black History Month. It is rather confusing. But, yeah, lots of important things to highlight, seeing as it's Black History Month. First of all, it's part of Black History, which neither of these guys are black. But they played a key part in Black History, and this is why I think it's such a problematic, it's become a term that a lot of people don't like to use, like black culture and things, because it's like, you're leaving us out, man. But no, Stretch and Bobbito, they did like a legendary radio show back in New York in the 90s on WKCR 89 Tech 9, and they literally like springboarded the careers of so many amazing people, Jay-Z, Nas, I mean, you name it. It's like all the classic hip-hop performances, like performers started on that show, and they've made a film about their show, which is going to be screening this week in London. So definitely Google that and pick up your tickets. So that's an important part of like Black History, because where would hip hop be without that show? It's pretty out there. And another very key part of Black History, which I think just does not get enough mentions, and I'm so pleased to hear that this is now being highlighted, is did you know that this week is Do-Rag History Week?
Wow. You know,
it's about time
that we celebrated grown men tearing off bits of their mum's tights and sticking them on their head in order to keep their waves way there.
I think it's about time. But you know what I wondered when I saw it? Is the term do-rag universally known?
Like,
do you think
so.
If you went out onto the street now and you said do-rag to someone at the bus stop, they'd know what you're talking about?
Yeah, I mean, but I guess it kind of depends slightly on race, because I mean, within the black community, there's always do-rags around, you know. Like, I wore do-rags right until I started losing my hair. Like, I always had do-rags to keep my hair like on top, nice and wavy. I just wouldn't wear them out because it was just two hoods. Do you know what I mean? To like have a do-rag out of the house.
But that's what makes them so great.
Yeah, you know, like for most people, the do-rag is purely like an overnight indoor item. But
yeah,
obviously,
it's a private,
you know, rappers of the 90s, you know, took it out of the house. Same way as they took like the half-done braids pick.
Yeah.
Afro pick in the
you
hair.
See, and then this becomes
house.
Like style.
It becomes like a fashion thing.
And then you have people like
so
Ali
do-rag,
G pick
yeah,
up on it.
It's
yeah,
cultural history, yeah, no question.
On the do-rag for a while. But yeah, it is officially Do-Rag History Week.
That's amazing.
And black people across the world have been using social media to celebrate the do-rag, which is, yeah, as Doc explained, a piece of cloth to protect your hair. The hashtag Do-Rag History Week, it's attracted 120,000 tweets over the past 7 days, and this was all started last year by a journalist, Van Newkirk.
Thanks, Van.
Thanks, Van. I'm wondering where Van Newkirk is from. I did actually mean to check that out. But yes, he started it last week and he just said on Twitter, I'm declaring this Do-Rag History Week. And it just spiraled on from there. But it is very funny to see all the different pictures that people have tweeted. There's humour involved in it. Some people go and have fun with it, but there's also a secret knowledge to it, Newkirk says. Lots of folks use do-rags, while other folks may not quite know what they are. Indeed.
True.
But yeah, the John Travolta, I wasn't sure if the picture of him was officially a do-rag. It just looked more like a skull cap type thing.
Mm.
Is that skull cap? Is that what you
I
call
don't know.
Them?
I have not seen that picture. That. Yeah. I don't want to see it.
You're not on top
his,
of your
his head is
history.
So big now. Like, I find him really scary to look at.
We need to put his head on Busta Rhymes'
yeah,
neck.
Yeah, that would work.
With Brian Blessed's
there
body.
You go.
And then everything's fine.
And it would justify the do-rag.
Yes. But no, check out the Do-Rag History Week. Because, yeah, and I'm wondering whether this guy intentionally coincided this with Black History Month.
Mm.
Because
possibly, let's hope so.
Yeah, which some people find quite insulting. Some of the things that get dragged up during Black History Month,
and I don't know. Like Black History Month, it's just one of them things, isn't it? Like some people say, "Oh, how can we only get a month?" But then you think, look, we've got something. Do you know what I mean? You can utilize it in whatever way you want to utilize it. Like if it was 2 months, people say, "Well, why is it 2 months? What are you trying to say?" Do you know what I mean? There's always going to be an issue.
Or if it's a year, it's like, why did we only get 1 year and then that's it?
Yeah.
No, but did you...
Ultimately, like, you know, it raises a little bit of awareness, I suppose. People talk about shit more, so it can only be a good thing.
Yeah. Did you see that, you know that chef Marco Pierre White?
Yeah.
But he, did you see that video he did last, I think it was last year? And it was kind of like, okay, this is bait. He dropped this video to promote this certain brand, but during Black History Month. And then it was like a video of him making... jerk chicken, rice and peas, Jamaican style.
Oh, nice.
It was brilliant. You know what? In fact, next week, I think we're going to need to play that audio. No, but for many people, it kind of just went over their head why that was kind of a bit ridiculous. Mm. But yes, when he was like, yes, you get your peas, the petit pois peas, and mix those in with the rice. And so for all Jamaican people, there was just like uproar because it was like, you're just... disgracing our national dish. But yeah, these are the kind of things that happen in Black History Month, I think, though, that make people sort of go ah. But yeah, so I think there's going to be lots more outrageous things coming up this month. True. But yes, for me so far the highlight of Black History Month is Do-Rag History Week.
Yeah,
so get involved. You're tuned into FUBAR Radio with myself and Doc. Coming up very soon, we have a special guest, super funny guy. I can't wait to just sit back and watch him. He's got that aura about him, hasn't he?
Nathan?
Yeah.
Yeah, man.
Yeah.
He's cool.
Do you
he's
enjoy
cool
just watching
yeah.
him too?
Yeah, man.
Yeah. So, no, Big he's going to be joining us very, very soon. Actually, here's your tune. That's what I needed to do. Another tune for you, Doc.
Oh, thank you.
So we'd just like to put out a disclaimer that...
that was not the song I chose.
Doc wanted, he was like, don't put my name
to
this.
I was actually expected to hear Survival Tactics.
Sorry, I
Joey
did actually
Badass.
Mean to play that for you.
Which I can... If the polar opposite rap song could exist, that was what you played.
I'm sorry, Doc.
No disrespect to
I'm
future
just the DJ.
Drizzle.
You're tuned into FUBAR Radio, and I'm so happy because we have a very special guest with us right now, Mr. Nathan Caton.
Nathan Caton.
Wait, welcome. I want to make sure that we're hearing you nice and loud and clear.
Cool.
Now, the last time I saw you, we were both doing... Was it a John Bishop show or was it...
No, Apollo.
Live at the Apollo.
Apollo. Yeah.
Live at the
that
Apollo.
That was a year ago already.
Is that a year ago?
Yeah.
Scary.
Really?
I know, man.
Holy shit. I need to write some new
jokes.
Is it
happened? Nothing in that year. A little FIFA, that's all.
Just been
so,
cool chilling.
Yeah, you know, and that's kind of like a... I guess for UK comics, that's like a... It's like a big sort of step, isn't it? Like you kind of do that, then you can start getting a few more bums on seats. That goes on YouTube. Kids see you. They buy tickets to come see your shows. How have you found it since getting on live at the Apollo? Has it?
Oh,
has
man.
It, has it been
my
a big change?
My phone's been ringing nonstop, man. No, it hasn't. I don't know. At first, I thought, I can't really notice any difference. Mm. I was going to gigs, doing my gigs as normal. But then I think in Edinburgh, I noticed it more. Because people will come
a bit more savvy.
And they'll be like, oh, yeah, they're I saw you on Love the Apollo, so I thought I'd come and see your show now.
Nice.
So that's when I noticed the difference.
So what was that like, your first kind of main... TV appearance type thing, stand-up
I've
appearance?
I did Mock the Week a few times, and I did Russell Howard's Good News. That got me a lot of exposure.
Yeah, that he's got such a young following, Russell Howard's Good News, that for all of us that go on it, it's like a huge spike suddenly.
Yeah, yeah.
In your career, you get more bookings, you get more interest, you get more TV offers as well. It's just one of those.
Yeah, but it's weird though, because before that, I was doing a lot of Radio 4. So, like, if I did like a solo show, I'll get like a Radio 4 audience. And then after the Russ Howard News, young audience came to my show as well.
Yeah.
So it was like a weird kind of blend at my gigs.
You're fusing the audiences
like
together.
Young students with pensioners sitting together going, are you here for Nathan?
That's probably good for you though, actually, because I mean, the last full length show I saw of yours in Edinburgh, and it must have been like 3 years ago, it was very much around the different generations of your family. Like, I mean, the subject matter.
Yeah, yeah.
Do you know what I mean? So it probably helps to have like a varying age of fan.
Yeah. So you get people inside of different people, like young people going, oh yeah, I get your brother, and then old people going, oh, I hate your brother,
there
but
you
I like
go. Because I had to whittle my fans down a little bit, because you know, like I got like a huge number of fans just from YouTube who were watching the raps, and they're look at this young guy rapping. They thought I was about 15 years younger than I actually am. And then when they come to the full length show, and it's just like, it's a bit more kind of philosophical, and there's a lot more chat and a lot less rap, the kids are like, oh, no, I'm going back to YouTube. I don't watch YouTube while he's on. This is boring.
But Nathan, you're into your rap hip-hop music too, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah? Yep. Like, indeed. What's your kind of... Who are your favourite artists then? Like, what kind of hip-hop do you listen to?
My favourite music? Artist. Okay, my favourite artist, like, in general, is Ludacris.
Okay.
Right.
Bitch! I played that at a party the other week. That went off. I love that tune.
When it, like, older people going, what's she talking about? Ludacris is just... He's always, like... I find him really, really funny.
Yeah.
And I like that. Like, I like conscious rappers, but then also, if you're not going to be conscious, like, instead of just talking about the whole, like, you know, like, I got bling, I got money, do something else. And Ludacris, he's kind of entertaining.
I will also say Ludacris, I know he's world famous and stuff, but I still think he's underrated as a rapper.
Definitely.
Because if you listen to a song like Saturday, like, he breaks down, like, each 16 into four separate four-bar sections that each have their own unique flow, and then he mirrors it on each of the 3 16 bar verses. I mean, it's scientific.
That was very technical
rap
for the average listener.
it's quite what? Tricky. Basically, he does, I break it down, there's 16 bars, you know, 16 couplets in a verse, and each one of those verses, he changes the flow completely four times.
No,
but he does exactly the same flow on each of the three verses.
He's super accomplished
mirrors
rapper
it.
And I think he's also another rapper where he's kind of put the South on the map, in terms of, a lot of people think like the South is just this gimmick, like ignorant nonsense sort of thing.
He's
one of these people that
him and Outkast
fans like to refer to as, no, there are people down in the South who have like got some flavour. And just for you, Nathan, we're going to play you some Ludacris
track.
So yeah, this one's going out to you. You're tuned into FUBAR.
I got a big weed stash. I got a big weed stash, pocket full of cash, just seen a big old ass.
You hear what I'm saying? So, like, in each verse,
you're trying to simplify your explanation further, which is just making it more complicated.
Screw everybody.
That was Nathan's request of some Ludacris, one of the rappers that you're rating from down south. And I see Nathan noticed that we were chatting about George Osborne at the NWA concert in the 90s, and you seem sceptical too that actually happened.
I can't imagine George Osborne at an NWA concert.
He wishes.
Exactly, man.
He wishes.
Like, what is NWA anyway? That's got to be a lie, man.
And then we were also wondering whether he was actually rapping along all the lyrics to the songs, because it's rather offensive, some of the words they use. In terminology.
Actually, George Osborne, he strikes me as the kind of person who would say the words
with
not realising.
With passion, with like fire in his belly. He's like, yes, I can get this out now, legitimately, without getting beaten up. But yes, you're joined by a special guest, Nathan Caton.
Yeah, Nathan Caton in the house. And listen, so you're from West, proper West.
Yeah,
West,
Middlesex West.
West, out there West. You're into rap, you're obviously comedian. So People Just Do Nothing couldn't have passed you by, right?
Oh, yeah, see, what? They film it like...
You're a Brentford fan
as well,
aren't you? And
they're
all Brentford boys.
Yeah, well, they film it in Brentford.
They film it in Brentford.
Yeah, yeah.
But I know, like, DJ Steves is a Brentford fan.
Oh, is he?
Yeah, because okay. I actually went to watch Brentford with DJ Steves.
Not this season.
No, it was pre-season last season when they played Palace as my team.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You might as well be speaking Japanese right now. I'm like, huh? What? Voice.
But yeah, I do remember thinking at one point that day, like, Brentford, rap, comedy. Yeah. Like, Nathan must love this show. Like, so you've seen it, presumably.
I've only seen one episode.
One episode? Yeah. Oh, my God.
I've not even seen a whole episode. More involved.
I mean, the show's it's classic. Genuinely classic.
My mates told me about it. My brother told me about it. But I don't get around to watching a lot of TV because like, I'm always gigging
obviously
and stuff.
You're always out at night.
And like, when
yeah.
I come back, I just want to sleep or eat.
Yeah, true
I don't
that.
Really watch
true
a lot of TV. So all these things like Breaking Bad, not seen yeah, it. Seen Game of Thrones, never that. Seen
don't
it.
Worry about that.
I've only seen the first season of The Wire.
Wow.
I'm so out of touch with like the rest of
retirement's
the world.
Gonna
but
be
I'm quite happily.
For you, man.
Yeah, right now I'll be like,
so
right,
good TV
let's do this. But no, something that I'm curious about because it's interesting seeing like all the stand-up scene at the moment, which it seems like it's really blowing up right now.
Yeah,
it's like it's every, you can't everyone's get away from it. Stand-up comedy. Sort of, it's like there's obviously some money to be made by some people in it, isn't it? But I wonder, like, how is it as the black guys on the scene? Like, because you know, I remember in my day in the 80s, there was only kind of room for like one black person, one black TV presenter, yeah. or one black chef, or you know, there was only
there's
one.
Still not
but
a lot
I feel
of...
like there's a few. Cats out there
yeah, there's
repping.
A lot more but there's still not a lot of room on TV yeah. for black comics, you know. Javon Prince has just had his show on, was that BBC Two or
yeah,
BBC Three?
BBC Two.
You know, which is that's a big deal, you know. Like a lot of time you'd think that would be relegated to maybe just online content at the BBC, so I'm quite glad they took a punt on that. They took a punt on Stephen K. Amos a few years ago. That didn't really work out, but you know, there's loads of black comics on the circuit, and then there's the black circuit too.
Okay,
you know, but yeah, the amount of crossover into the mainstream is still pretty low. Yeah. You know, I'd say like in the wave that me and Nathan came up in, there was only a couple of others at that time as well that you would see more in the mainstream on the circuit and possibly on TV, like Marlon Davies. Yeah. You know,
have you guys seen that? Well, you guys must know Dave Chappelle.
Yeah. Of course, yeah.
Have you seen the Dave Chappelle Wayne Brady episode?
Oh yeah,
I love that.
Yeah,
black
funny.
Actors, man. So are you like black comedians got to stand together? Yeah,
you know
is it
what?
Like that?
It's weird. There's no. It's like there's no honor amongst thieves. You know, like comedians as a whole, like no one really gives a proper shit about each other. You know, because it's crabs in a bucket.
Thanks,
everyone's
man.
After the same.
Yeah, just so you know, Nathan, you're welcome here and everything, but don't get too comfortable.
Everybody's
don't
after
don't
the same pound.
You.
No, I'm talking like in general. Like
no,
everyone's after the same pound.
Comedians are standing together,
there's
but
no
outside
union,
of that,
you know, there's
yeah.
no union. Like we get screwed all the time, right, by promoters and whatnot. But also, we get screwed by each other because I could get offered a gig, yeah, and the money is disgusting. I'm not taking that, you know. And like, how dare you even offer me if like I've got to pay more for the hotel and the travel and my food and all of that? How dare you? And then they're just like, okay, fine. And then they
promoters.
Just find a kid who wants to do it.
Yeah.
Like he'll do it. So
and
it goes to the kid, and he's
career.
Not going to go, oh wait a minute, Doc Brown turned this down because it's a ridiculous deal. It doesn't reflect goods and services
but
or
at
your
labor. But
they're
at a different stage in their career and things like that. So they're
but
hungry
if there was
for
a union, if there was a union, they would be able to be found gigs that reflected their ability as well. Do you know what I mean? And we'll never have that because, like I say,
because
well,
people are hungry to feed themselves, isn't it? So it's like you're not going to get that camaraderie. How did you get your start though in
well.
The professional comedian game?
Gosh, what? 19 years old, just done my first year at uni, and I wanted something to do during the summer, other than like get a part time job. So comedy had always kind of appealed to me a bit because I did like drama at college, and I was always given the comedy roles. So I saw an ad in Time Out magazine for an open mic in Old Street. I think the venue's closed down now, refurbished, because it was a mess when I went there. And I did like 10 minute open spot, and I died. Like, properly,
that's brilliant,
properly
though.
Properly died in my hole,
that's
man.
That's got to be the best but, start, though, because then you're like, oh shit, I really need to pull myself up.
Yeah, so once I came on stage, I was like, okay, it can't get any worse than this. Like, I think surely it can only get better. But it was a crap gig, because there was about 12 people there. Half of them were the other comedians. There were some men playing pool in the stage behind us. There was no curtain.
Okay.
I think they were just playing pool, and every now and again they'll look up and kind of shake their head and carry on playing pool.
Point their ass at you.
And then, yeah, and then I went on stage and I had some awful material about like
aww.
Being a young guy in a club trying to pull a girl. And I was the youngest one there. Everyone else was like 30 plus, whatever. And they just didn't get it. No, I was like, what are you talking about? So I just came off stage. And I was like,
where is like in the crowd when you're feeling the pain for that person? It's like, oh man, please just pull it back.
Yeah, I know.
Bring it back.
People look at me like, just come off stage, man. What's wrong with you, boy?
Go just home. End the pain for all of us.
Yeah. But no, it's cool. But I came off stage and I was like, okay, I felt comfortable being on stage, even though my material was rubbish. I felt comfortable on stage. And then I went back like to another club a week later and it went better. I was like, okay, I'm kind of getting the gist of like what I need to do. Like, obviously don't use that same material that I used the first time.
Yeah,
like,
scrap that. Yeah. Yeah,
that don't work. But yeah, and then from there I just kept on like doing open spots until like I started getting paid. And I remember the first time I got paid, like 20 quid, and I thought I'd made it. And
you're like, woohoo!
Yeah man.
KFC on me!
You know what I'm saying? Mum, bills are taken care of.
Yeah. For the next 3 days. Yeah. Like, that's amazing, though. And what an accomplishment to be, like, doing it on a professional level.
Oh, yeah, I'm glad now. Like, I see my mates waking up at, like, 7 in the morning, you know, going to the office. I'm like, yeah, I wake up at 7, go and pee, come back and go to sleep again. Yeah, it's cool.
Meditate on some jokes.
You know what I'm saying?
But then how do you, like, I've always been curious, like, how comedians generate material. Like, because it might just be something where, what, you're walking down the street and you see something that gives you an idea that then you extrapolate into comedy.
Comedy is everywhere, man. Like family and friends, things that happen to you, things in the news. Like at the moment, I get a lot of stuff I see in the news, and then they'll kind of like spark off things that happen to me. Like, oh yeah, like there's a routine I got about taking a girl to a chicken cottage for a first date, which that stemmed from an article I saw in the paper about
that's real life, man, right there. Yeah, well, see, comedy is in
time,
real life.
I was,
yeah,
20 something. So
there's lots of people can relate to that storyline. Yeah.
But that came just from a story I saw in the paper about a guy who was accused of being sexist. Mm. Right. So I was thinking about, okay, well, how can men be chivalrous? And I was thinking about things that I've done that aren't chivalrous. And then that was a whole story about taking a girl to chicken cottage.
Yeah, which I'm sure lots of girls would actually be quite impressed with that.
She wasn't, because she was vegetarian, which I didn't find out.
Yeah, that's difficult. That there's not many options, yeah, exactly, for you if
she had
you're,
apple
you're
pie.
Veggie. Oh, really? She's like, okay, apple pie for dinner? Sorted. But we've got another, you know what we do every week on the show? We have a section called Are You Taking the Piss?
Okay.
Where, you know, British people, we like to vent and just bitch and moan, basically, at every opportunity, even if we don't really have very valid reasons to bitch and moan. But yes, we like to get open the floor to our listeners and ask them what has made them say, are you taking the piss this week? So I want you to think about if there's anything in this last week, because we always ask our guests for their ideas. But before that, we're going to play your next request, which is from often called... Oh, I like that intro. that intro. Yes, another request of yours. Our guest Nathan Caton in the studio with us, and you've got some shows to shout out after this track too, because
cool,
we want the people to know where they can come and find you. But keep it locked to Foo Bar. All good, baby, baby.
It was all a dream. I used to read Word Up magazine.
Does anyone actually know who's singing on this part? I don't think I've never noticed.
And what did she mean when she said, you had a goal, but not that many?
No, you had... Oh, I'm the worst person when it comes to
you
hearing.
Had a goal,
no,
but not that many. What does that mean?
Someone Google the lyrics. I'm the worst person to ask about lyrics. I'll remix the whole track for you, man. But yeah, that's a bit of a classic, certified classic crossover. How did you get introduced to that tune, Nathan? That was on your selection for today.
It's like, how do you avoid that song?
Yeah, exactly.
Like,
yeah.
No, but do you remember when you were first
don't
discovering
like
that tune?
At all that love that song, you know?
when did I first hear it? High school must have been. Must have been high school. I have a high school, first year of college time.
And high school?
Yeah.
In the States? We're English here, yeah. We speak English.
High school.
Okay.
Secondary school.
Yeah. Okay.
Is that what you mean?
No, we say high school here.
No.
You know what I mean? 11 to 16.
High school. Yeah, secondary,
you know what I mean?
School.
Okay,
yeah.
Fine. Secondary school then.
Okay. You've got to keep the English language alive.
Okay, fine. Yeah. And then I went to further education. No, it's one of the songs that you know of, you know, if you like hip hop, it's like,
yeah,
you can't avoid it. Yeah.
Can't not know it.
Exactly.
It's omnipresent. Yeah, no, it's definitely a classic. You're tuned into Foo Bar Radio. Remember to hit us up at shd@foobarradio.com and twitter.com /FooBarRadio because we still have Doc's rap coming up. I don't know, Doc, have you chosen your subject?
I have, I've chosen it. Thank you for your input. I'll give you all a shout out, everybody who gave me suggestions in the next section of the show. Yes. So stay tuned.
So hold tight for that. And also, you need to hit us up because very soon we're going to be getting into. It's that time for.
Are you taking the piss?
So you need to hold tight. But before that, I want Nathan, you've got a bunch of shows coming up that I think. You need to spread the word of how people get to discover you. I'll use my presenting voice.
Over the next 7 to 8 days, Nathan Caton will be performing beginning tomorrow, Wednesday the 7th of October, at the 99 Club, Leicester Square. And this one's not happening? Good, because I always die at Bath Comedia.
It's a weird room, isn't it?
It's a weird room,
bro. Such a massive high ceiling.
It's a weird room.
The laughter evaporates.
On Thursday, the 15th of October, you can catch young Caton at the Comedy Store, London. On the Friday, why not take the pick between the two, the boat show or the Comedy Store? Mm. He'll be performing at both, not at the same time. That would be...
A miracle.
Busy night. Going to run from one venue to the other.
Yeah, man. Those are the best ones, man. Exactly. You just double or triple up, making like three times the money, flying around. It's kind of exciting.
Yeah. Balling.
It's living the dream there, man.
Yeah. But what is, like, is comedy your passion? Like, is that your... Yeah. Your... Something you pursue... That's what you want to pursue in life, kind of thing.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, like, I'm always kind of thinking of material, trying to write stuff, you know. Even when I'm not meant to be, like, I'd be like with my girlfriend having dinner and we'd be chit-chatting about, oh, that's a joke, that's a bit, and I'd kind of put a note in my phone or something like that.
It's mad, isn't it? It can take over your whole life, like, you know, your social life. Sometimes you'd be in a group of people and then you just suddenly have to just slip away, just like ease your way out.
I'll be right back, guys.
It's so weird.
But have you ever gotten into trouble because of your comedy routines? Like, say, maybe you've mentioned something that has actually happened, or you've mentioned a girlfriend or someone, and they're like, listen, I don't really appreciate being the whole room of people laughing about me.
Got into trouble with my grandma.
That's not a good one.
Your gran tends to be a big character in your...
Well, she's like the rock of the family. She's like the head of the family. So kind of everything kind of goes through her. Mm. And just naturally, she's going to be in my jokes.
Yeah.
Because she's just so domineering. first time I did Mot of the Week... I did a joke. It wasn't serious. I was talking about my grandma's attitude towards interracial relationships, right?
Okay.
How sometimes she can be a bit old school, like, you know, last generation. And then the next day, after one of it came out, I went to her house.
She was trolling you on Twitter. No,
she opened the front door and she just went, because are you? Everybody took me a reassist and slammed the door in my face.
Wow, mama. Wow. Go on, grandma. I love it.
That's funny.
I love it.
It's just a joke.
It was just a joke.
Yeah. I didn't mean it.
But yeah, she forgave you in the end.
Oh, she's over it now.
Okay.
But she won't come to any of my gigs because she knows that I'm going to talk about her.
Yeah.
That's so nice. Where is your grandma from? Like, what's your heritage?
Antigua.
Like, your parents are Antiguan?
No, dad's Jamaican side and my mom's side Antigua Grenada.
Mm-hmm. Exotic.
Yeah. I know, pick a mix of the Caribbean. Right?
Yeah, but it's a good mix. But you're going to hang around with us until the end of the show, because in a minute I'm going to ask you to set things off, warm everybody up. Remember, the email is shd@foodbarradio.com.
Yes.
Now is the time to hit us up for some.
Are you taking the piss?
But that's coming up right after this track, which is Nathan's final request. And it's from an artist who I think is very, very dope. And he got a shout out earlier in the show for calling anyone to battle him.
Oh, yeah.
And then
as soon as
someone stepped up, he was like, I was just kidding.
Wait, did you hear about his stand up show?
He did stand-up.
In Dalston.
No. Oh.
He did an hour of stand up in Dalston.
He's a funny guy, though, isn't he?
He wasn't that night.
Oh,
he had a bunch of walkouts. The last thing he said on stage was, guys, seriously, am I funny?
Oh, God.
Bro.
That's painful.
Bad news. But
is that like
months.
A rule that a comedian should never ask if
you need
honey?
To ask that, then you're not funny.
Nah.
Okay. You're just making things worse.
Get out of there.
Keep it locked. Are you taking the piss? It's coming up next.
The emo.
Freaky black beauty with the pretty pop.
See, I do feel like that kind of takes the pit. Like, you must feel that too. When, like, for me as a DJ earlier, we mentioned people who call themselves DJs, but they ain't
celebrities out there is getting like big money, like 10, maybe 20 times as much as you make in one gig.
All right, don't rub it in.
Right?
Yeah. When they're just pointing. They're on stage pointing.
They're just pointing. They press play on an iPod and then they're just pointing at people and going, woo.
Honestly, my 11-year-old niece will burn them on the turntables. But it the same thing like with comedy, because that kind of takes the piss when you have someone like Mos Def.
Yeah, but you know what's better for us, though, than your situation is that when someone tries to do what we do, you can't fake it. Yeah. Do you know what I'm saying? You can't just do it. And everyone's going to be like, oh, it's hilarious. Whereas in your world, people might just be drunk up.
They can fake it to the ignorance.
They might just be drunk up, and then someone comes and press play on an iPod Jeff and they're all dancing.
Steps on the stage after you, it's like, oh, right, I see.
Okay. You can't step into stand up and think that everybody's going to laugh. Yeah. That's the beauty part. So I just say, hey, you think you can do it? Yeah, come in, jump in, knock yourself out.
So for me, I would kind of say like that is definitely a contender for.
Are you taking the piss?
People who want to call themselves DJs but they ain't got no skills. Yeah. People who want to just dip into some stand-up comedy but they ain't got no skills.
Mm. Are you taking the piss,
Nathan?
Yeah.
What in this last week has made you like say seriously? Are you taking the piss?
A video that I saw on Twitter earlier today, actually. You know, the whole 5p carrier bag charge kicked in yesterday.
Mm.
We got paid, which in itself, that's something. But anyway, there's a funny video on Twitter of a guy in, can we say the supermarket? He was in Asda. Okay. Right. That's nothing against Asda, but he was in Asda. And he went to put his stuff in a bag, and the staff was like, oh, you need to pay 5p for that. And the guy was like, no, I'm not paying 5p for that. So they end up getting into a proper grown fight. And
physical?
And then the member of staff takes the carrier bag, puts it over the guy's head, and drags him down to the floor.
What?
Yeah, I know. All of that over 5p.
This is not staged. This is not a sketch. This happened.
Yeah.
This wasn't NWA concert.
Nah, it was in Asda. Over 5p. It's like, come on, man. Wow. I'll give you the money if you want.
He's like ready to risk the man's life.
Yeah, over 5p.
That ain't even taking the piss. That's just straight. It's a carrier bag.
Are you taking the piss?
Why do we still have plastic bags, though? Should just have paper bags like Americans.
But I think there's also environmental issues with paper bags too. They're less harmful than plastic bags. But yeah, I think that's going to be the loophole. Is like they're going to bring in
reuse. I say charge like 50p bag.
50p a bag. Yeah,
then no one will buy it.
But do you remember when in our day? In the 80s, do you remember you used to go to the supermarket?
In the 80s.
No, but it would also be the cardboard boxes. Remember at the supermarket, they'd always be the cardboard boxes.
Yeah.
And you'd just use those and put your shopping
in. They still have them, innit? Like Costco and stuff.
No one gives a shit.
Yeah, that's people like, that's beneath me. And so they'd rather have a plastic bag. Yes, but no. So that I think the plastic bag things kind of take it. We've taken the piss with plastic bags.
Yeah, we have.
Let's be real. They say apparently it's like 70% of aquatic life has plastic bags in their digestive system from eating plastic bags.
And 1% of Asda's customers yesterday has the same.
That's gangster, though. That's crazy. I can't believe that guy. He's got a lawsuit ready to make some money out of that.
Trying to suffocate a man over 5p.
That's
insane. He put him like chokehold. He went WCW with it. That's crazy. But yes, it's time for...
Are you taking the piss?
We have something dope from Nathan, but I love hearing from you guys because I just love having this insight into the people who listen to us and what's going on in your world out there. So, and we have Doc's friend each week who comes through to the show and he reads your emails to us. So, Baz, if you're ready to go, hit us up with some...
Are you taking the piss?
What have you got, Baz? Oh, he's got Dina in Watford.
Oh, off his kettle, he's minging. And will you make a cup of tea? There's all that crap floating on the fucking top. Oh. It's taking a piss.
Are you taking the piss?
Wow.
That always scares me using hotel. I don't know what's wrong with my
brain.
It's OCD, though, that I just have these nightmares of things people do in hotel rooms, but also like with the kettle.
You should, because I absolutely destroy a hotel room. I don't know why. It's
everyone
just as I can.
Does.
Just let me out.
It's not my home.
Wet my ass on the sheets.
Fuck your couch.
So true.
But no, that's what I just think. Imagine, then when I've seen hidden camera programs on how they clean the room, when it's like the woman's cleaning the toilet and then washing the cups with the same cloth.
I read.
Are you taking the piss?
They only change the sheets twice a year.
Oh God! No, my friend used to work in a hotel cleaning rooms.
Febreze.
Yes,
363 days of Febreze.
Gallons of Febreze, man. But no, my friend used to work in a hotel cleaning rooms, and he said that they told them if it looks clean, it's clean. Which is pretty terrifying, isn't it?
That's terrifying. Wait, if you got any hotels stories taking the piss out of your lives, hit us up. SHD at FUBARradio.com. What we got next, Baz?
But yeah, scummy kettles are pretty. Definitely.
Are you taking
Edna
the piss?
Edna in Hillingdon.
Why? Why? Is there always that one absolute dick who plays music out loud on his fucking phone on public transport? It's taking a piss.
Yes.
Are you taking the piss?
This is definitely a recurring.
I can back this. I mean, we always have public transport emails, don't we?
Yeah.
But I'm so done with this, man. You can hear the music fine at half the volume.
But they're trying to like.
The thing is, if
no one's bubbling, we've
got an expensive.
They think
the bus driver's is rolling. Yeah.
They just think other people are too shy to bubble with them, but really, they're feeling it.
If they can afford an expensive like smartphone, why can't they afford headphones?
You know they've got their headphones.
It's insane. I mean, it's just got to be stopped.
It's despicable. What's Edna's name?
Edna in Hillingdon. Edna. We're so down.
Let's get a petitioner. I was going to say pensioner. Let's get a petitioner.
Play
the music.
Let's get a petition going. I think we can, Edna, fire it
guys,
up and we'll back you on that because, yeah, definitely.
Guys. Are you taking the piss?
Yeah, there should be like a little, I don't know, just some kind of immediate punishment that can just be meted out. Like it just happens. Like it's not down to any individual. Yeah, it's just something comes out of the bus and just licks you in the head.
Yeah.
And that's
something
it every time
non-verbal,
you do it.
Or yeah, maybe the as the chokehold.
Yeah, get that guy.
Get that same carrier, that guy.
Just let him loose.
And sleep. And then you just turn it off.
The courts would be like,
we don't promote violence.
Reduce the charges on your assault case if you take on everybody that plays music loud on their phones. What else we got, Baz? We have got something from Adam in Staines who says, I went round my friend's ass for dinner and they cooked, in inverted commas, cooked me a peanut butter and jam fucking sandwich. Now that is neither a sandwich, cooked, or dinner. Yeah? Fucking hell! Thanks, Adam.
I feel your pain in a way.
Beef.
But at the same time, someone has prepared you some food.
They've prepared you something.
I mean, he's suggesting that there was a promise of a cooked dinner. Yeah,
implies cooking.
Yeah. But he doesn't stipulate that his friend actually said that before.
Where did
he just said he's gone around his friend's house for dinner and they cooked me a peanut butter and jam sandwich? Adam in Staines. I think he just needs to double check if they actually said dinner. Because if they just said, Adam, come round, we want it to be great to see you, and then you get a sandwich out of it, you're happy. But if Adam's going around assuming that they're cooking him dinner, then he's going to be pissed off. But if it's an assumption, Adam, that's the thing, then you can't blame your friends.
I like how
if
we're turning
said,
this around on Adam, that
no,
he's
no,
taking
I'm
the
saying,
piss.
Let's
no,
be
no,
clear
no,
on what the
I'm,
family said. If
I'm
they
in
said
Adam's dinner.
Fair
yeah?
Enough. Yeah?
Okay.
Because who has peanut butter and jam sandwich like in this country?
I like
the same
PBJ.
People who say high school is for the secondary school.
I like
that
PBJ.
Was,
are you taking
high school? What? I ain't having that. No elevator. No high Whoa. School.
So there's a lot.
No movies.
There's a lot of different arguments to this email, Adam. There's a lot of different levels.
No, but it's true that I'm with Adam. That is taking. That. I have been to my friend's house where there are promises of dinner. Then you get there and it's like no food. Look, I didn't eat before I got here. What you want me to eat my own arm?
Mm. I've been to my girlfriend's mum. She's vegetarian. And I've been around
to starve.
Yeah. I've gone around when they've had like a vegetarian meal and I love meat. And I'm like, I'll eat the food, but after I'm like, I'm hungry, I want some meat. So after like, when I leave,
I'll fried chicken.
I'll go to like a chicken shop or something and get something so I can have like a proper dinner.
Counteract any of the positive effects of the vegetarian diet.
Now,
right,
if you go around to your friend's house and you never get offered anything, at what point
even
can you
drink?
Just go in their fridge? Can you just go in their fridge? That would be nuts, isn't it?
No, I'm just straight like, look.
Mate, yeah. I waited.
You ain't got no manners.
I waited all the 9 minutes. If it got to 10, it would have gotten violent.
What else we got, Baz?
No, I do
Samuel
get a bit
in Kingston,
when I'm
hungry. Samuel in Kingston. Hey, guys. My friend sent me a drunk text at 1:15 Friday evening and woke me up. It was nonsense. When I saw her, she smiled and I forgave her though. Silly Billy. Wow. So he's like angry and then he's not angry. That's from Samuel in Kingston.
Samuel, you're kind of scary.
Yeah, he's kind of up and down with that.
Yeah.
I think the key thing is when I saw her. Because like if I had a drunk text from a mate at 1:15 AM, because I have had that. I've had worse than that. I've had mates call me. And they're lean. They're leaner.
Boom. Just wanted to say hello, man. You know what I'm with? Guess who I'm with?
I hate that shit. Bruv, I'm fast asleep.
I've got family.
He's got a nonsense text, but then he saw her.
Yeah.
If you get a text from a girl at 1:15 AM, it's like,
It's like, I'm ready to go. Yeah. How soon can you get round here? Oh, that's where we need to play the right, No Sam. They Didn't music.
Yeah, for like, real.
That's the theme tune for
Sam,
late night.
Sam, that's half taking the piss, but it doesn't sound like you're that angry. So.
No, but exactly. I'll still give him a...
Are you taking the piss?
Yeah. At least for the subject matter, because he's just put piss in the subject matter, which is quite nice.
So I like that.
Thanks for that. I was hoping for much more from that email, though, Sam, seeing that title.
But he needed to get it off
Betty,
his chest.
From Betty in Sutton. Hello! I've just got home, right? After getting off the bus, and I've noticed I've got chewing gum stuck to my arse!
Oh no!
Fucking spearmint flavour and all!
Oh,
livid!
No. What's livid. It? There's all these like old wives' tales where it's like, what, you put it in the freezer or something like that.
Oh, yeah, and you get the chip off.
Does anyone know it? Has anyone ever done that successfully,
I did
though?
It. I did it.
The freezer.
These very jeans.
The
right?
freezer technique.
I got these jeans brand new and I got chewing gum on them in, I was overseas. Norway, I think. I came back and my wife said, put it in the freezer. I did that. Did it work? Did it fuck?
I
put
say.
It in there for 2 days. She's like, after the first day, she's like, oh, it just needs to be more frozen.
What?
<He's> like, a whole day isn't enough.
We've gone beyond more frozen
days.
Now.
Yeah. I'm like, I want my jeans back, man. That's eventually, it's just like, just wear and tear. It just like,
yeah, you just
got
to finesse it. You just got to finesse it, like, into the style of the jeans.
What's annoying about that,
people, sorry, go on.
What's annoying about that is that no one told her. She was on a bus.
You see,
that's the thing.
This
is what we try and get to the bottom of with these emails, Nathan, because some people think someone or something in life is taking the piss out of them. But a lot of the time, they're taking the piss out of their own lives. Do you know what I mean? So we like to
but
try and clear that
shit.
But
this is the only way you can get over these things. It's like the therapy, isn't
Talk
it?
About
I
it.
Bet the person who put the chewing gum on the seat, they were also bumping some tunes, like thinking they're vibesing up on the top deck of the bus through the speakerphone.
Yeah, that person was taking the piss. No question. I'm definitely on Betty's side because you don't
together.
Know. Yeah, definitely. They're the same kind of pricks.
The other day I was walking down the street and I saw a woman. She had a shoulder bag on, but you may have noticed this happened before as well. Like, but sometimes when you wear a shoulder bag, it's like
rides
gradually.
Your skirt up. I love that shit.
Her whole
that's a godsend.
Her whole butt cheek was out. And then I just was like, how long has this lady been walking like this? And
did,
no one said nothing
her?
To Yeah.
Good Is girl.
It? Yeah, oh, and she was just like, thank you so much.
You gloss.
Yeah, sorry, I just killed the
population. Because I've also done
population.
That more than once.
You just followed them down the street.
Yeah, I followed them for a while and then I tell them. And then I tell them. So you get like best of both worlds. You get the soft porn and you come across as like a hero. Yeah.
And then you might even get a number out of it.
You
when they're like,
know.
Wow, what a charming
know.
Gentleman.
What a
we
charming
should talk
guy.
More. But no, that is taking the piss.
That is taking the piss.
Sitting,
whoever
just chewing gum and sitting in it, standing in it. No one telling you the whole story. I'm sorry,
Doug in Battersea has an axe to grind. He says, hello! I'm letting through my jacket at the weekend, right? This stupid fucking idiot went to a club and lost it. It wasn't my favourite, but I still wasn't impressed.
Don't lose your shit.
Don't lose a lens. You know what my brother does? He lends a lens. Like, I lend him a lens. I lend him something of mine. And I go to get it back, and he goes, oh, I lend it to so-and-so.
You don't have any right to lend it.
That
you don't have the right to lend it... I can't abide that.
That needs it. But then that's when your lend privileges get...
Yeah,
done. I'm not lending anything.
The lend is ended.
Done.
Yeah, no, the other day someone was telling me that they lent an SP12, which is like this classic beat making machine, which Pete Rock, DJ Premier, all the illest hip hop producers use, lent their SP12 to someone for 2 weeks. The person returned it a year later, broken. There's only like one person in the whole country that knows how to fix this beat machine, so it was like that just took it to a whole other level. I'm not mentioning the producer's name, but
I
was just like,
I went around my brother-in-law's. No, it's true. I mean, that is a piss take. When my brother-in-law's, he had a sick library of DVDs. You know, sometimes when you're around someone's house, you just see like a sick selection. You're like, bruv, I beg you, let me borrow a couple of these. So like, he was like, yeah, help yourself. So I took like five, right? And he goes, so what have you got? And I was like, I got Ghostbusters, I got blah, blah, blah. He goes, hold on, say it again. And he just pulls out this ledger.
Database.
And just licks his finger, pulls out a ledger. I was like, what the fuck is that? He goes, I'm writing this shit down.
Blockbusters,
I was like, what are you, like anal or something? He's like, bruv, you think I'm anal, yeah? He goes, wait till you get to my age, you'll see, yeah? People don't give shit back. I'm writing, what else have you got? I'm writing it down. And you know what? To this day, like, I regret not doing that.
Yeah.
I've returned all of them.
Because
he
knows.
Knew he had
I,
it written
I
down.
I lend shit out and I don't write it down. I don't remember who I lend shit to. And the worst is with books, because people take a long time to read a book.
Yeah.
So I've lent out some great books in my time and never got them back.
Yeah.
I lent out the Richard Pryor autobiography, is one of my favourite books.
Mm.
And I couldn't remember who I lent it to. And then I found out they'd lent it to someone else. And then eventually it came back. And it was about 4 years later. And it's so, it had like 3 pinpricks through about 70 pages. Sad about
that's mystical.
I confronted the dude. He was like, "Oh, that weren't me, man. That weren't me." I was like, "How many times this book get lent out?" Yeah. And he was fucking piercing it with a needle.
What is going on? My dad always said to me, "Don't lend anything you can't afford to give."
Well, that's quite a good.
He's like, "Don't lend money unless you're prepared to give that amount of money."
One of my best friends in high school, I lent him Above the Rim. Right, the movie.
Classic.
Yeah.
Your and former best friend.
Exactly, because he lost it. I ain't got it back.
Wow.
Still to this day. He's dead to me.
Yes.
If you're listening.
Are you taking a piss?
Yeah.
We have Bob in Bromley, who says, "I was riding my bike to work this morning. My trousers got caught in the chain.
Ooh.
Now I've got a nice oily trouser leg."
Oh.
Who's taking the piss there? What's taking the piss there?
Your cycling techniques.
Yeah.
No, you should have rolled
thing,
it.
Roll
the
it,
elastic band.
Tuck it in the sock. Yeah. Get the elastic band or the little reflective thing that you hook on. Bruv, Bob,
or,
taking a piss out of your own life there,
or
mate.
Or better than that, don't take the piss out of the people who you work with and change your clothes. So wear clothes that you get sweaty in on the bike.
Yeah, that's true.
Change
also, you're taking a piss out of your workmates.
Yeah.
Bob,
I like how we're just turning it around on all of them. Like, you people emailing us to take the piss. No, not really. But I wonder what's worse, the chewing gum on the clothes or oil on the clothes? There is techniques with the oil.
Well,
I think.
At least chewing gum takes someone to get off, isn't it?
Yeah, but can you which can you finesse better? The chewing gum stain or the oil stain?
Chewing gum's more noticeable.
Yeah,
more
depends.
Noticeable.
Like if you've got a light top, you've got a grey top or something like that, it's got oil on it, you're done.
Yeah.
If it's dark jeans, maybe you get away with both.
See, you get fashion tips on Food Bar Radio too.
Sam in Tillingham says, "My cat's pissing me right off. She keeps coming in and out of the window.
Are you taking
the
piss?"
I know. My cat tries to come in the window, and then when I don't open the window, he's clawing at the window. I'm like, okay, this can't get healthy. This
coming in and out like you pay rent.
Yeah, do you know what I mean?
It's so annoying when they're just like, "I want to go out. Oh, actually, I want to come back in.
Actually,
I want to go out again. Can I have some food? Oh, not this food. This is the boring food." You're like, fuck you.
And now I want to go out in the rain. And now I want to bring
dirty
marks all for your
cats
house.
Home. You know what you would have been? You would have been getting raped by a fox right now if it wasn't for me.
Fam. So you better appreciate.
Appreciate. Cats don't appreciate shit. Dogs are like, "You the greatest, man.
You're so loyal.
You're the greatest guy I've ever seen, man. Where you going, man? Come back."
I think just standardly cats.
Are you taking the piss?
Yeah, cats are always taking the piss.
I think we've got time for a couple more.
Emma in
Essex
says, "This guy I know keeps sending me topless Snapchats with the caption, 'Hey, I'm sorry, right, but I will not have a conversation over fucking Snapchat.' Fool.
Are you taking the piss?
Fool!" Did she write fool?
Yeah, she wrote fool in capital letters.
I'm sorry, that's gross. I'm not on Snapchat either.
Snapchat. But this is the kind of girl I want my daughters to become, you know? They just get some stupid
gangster
shit from a guy and just be like,
little moles.
Fool,
yeah.
Done.
Yeah.
Done.
Innit? You've got to train them not to be like that.
What makes some guys think that's what women want, though?
Yeah, I mean, at least it's topless, though. Some guys are just sending dick pics.
Oh, my God.
Do you know how... You know, like...
Seriously, that
if you're not ready to look at a dick...
That's never happened to me.
If you're not ready to look at a dick, it's one of the most unpleasant things.
And it pops up, no pun intended.
It's like boobs. Like, I might not be ready to look at boobs right now, but if you suddenly showed them to me, I'd be like,
Do women agree with that about boobs? No,
boobs are attractive.
Women aren't agreeing that it's not shocking.
But to men, you see boobs go, "Hey, boobs."
Say,
but women don't look at, like, our penis and go,
Even men, universally, no one feels.
You need to work
penis.
Your way up to a penis.
Exactly.
You need time.
There are no puns intended.
Show me your elbow first. Show me your elbow first.
I
feel
they're
bad.
Not armpit.
I feel bad for everybody every time I whip it out.
Yeah, no, that's
everybody
gross.
Involved.
But I heard on the WhatsApp that you like your pictures are on there.
Oh yeah, I just worked out how to not do that.
Okay, that's
you got to do that
some,
shit because like I get caught up in these crazy groups. You know, some of your friends, they're just like swapping all sorts of fucked up pictures. Yeah. Oh, look at this guy; he's got like his arm ripped off by a combine harvester or some shit. And then that just goes into your photos,
I
into your camera.
Got options.
I know. I changed it yesterday because my kids scroll through my photos and I'm like, "Ah, what the fuck is that?"
Oh,
you know what I mean? You don't want that.
Yeah,
you don't want that. Okay, we got one more. We got time for one more. It's from another Bob. Ooh, this is quite
but
a nice
sorry,
way
to
round
the topless
up, actually.
Pictures, yes.
Are you
topless pictures? Yes,
get
that is taking
the
piss. Bob just simply says, Raining again, ain't it? Do one. There you go.
Do one, mate.
He's got do one in the subject. I like that.
Jog on. Jog on, rain. That's the other one I like. Jog on.
The fuck on, rain. We've had
the
enough of you.
Last time I heard someone say jog on, it was a builder. Nice. I was like, yes.
Beautiful. Thank
that
you
just,
so
like,
much
makes my week.
For your input. You've killed it. As
are you
always
taking the piss?
Life is taking the piss out of all of us.
Keep your messages coming
keep
through
coming,
to us as well, because in between the shows,
yeah,
we'll
man.
Be reading
we,
these
yeah,
messages. Says SHT at foodbarradio.com. I love, like, you know, providing this platform. It's a vital platform
word,
for the British audience.
Word, word.
Lots
and thank you to
show.
Everybody that has suggested raps. Daniel Greensit, thanks for tweeting in about the prices of Freddo bars, which anyone who knows me knows is a big subject matter that keeps coming back. I think I've rapped about it a few times, actually. Emily Chase, oh, yeah, Emily, how you doing? Old friend of mine, 5p plastic bags.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. Yeah. As we were talking about before, some other suggestions
watch
in
out
there.
For those Kung Fu Asda workers, man. What the hell?
Basically, thanks to everybody that tweeted me. I appreciate it. This week's winner, if you can call it that, is, where is he? Alistair at Alconcalcia on Twitter, who says, how about George Osborne revealing he's a hip hop fan? A sort of Osborne tribute. Rap about anything.
And this is definitely the best instrumental right. for it. As a tribute to. Yeah. Where my headphones at? Turn my headphones off!
I'll take yours. Oh, alright, nice.
Woo.
Yeah. Yeah, we ready, yeah?
With that gangsta right. shit.
Yeah!
Here we George go. Osborne,
yo, straight out of Oxford. Crazy motherfucker named Osborne. Why he rolling with the motherfucking snobs for? When he really wanna hang with the brothers. Hitting blunts and 40 ounces, cussing mothers. He was there in 92 at Brixton. In the crowd, like, ooh, I love this one. And now he's in control of the budget. And when it comes to hip hop, he's like, fuck it. But suddenly it seems like he needs us. So we started talking greasy to please us. Yeah, like he was really into Ice Cube. George, that don't mean we're ever gonna like you.
Like
you can use the sunglasses emoji. Chancellor of the Exchequer, fam, you don't know me.
Know
you're
me.
The Tories' number one wigger. And when you rap along, you probably shout.
You probably shout.
Shout out George Osborne, number 11, Downing Street. For all your poo in envelopes.
Yeah.
You know the address.
And all your fake stories of going to gangster rap shows back in the day when we know you weren't up in them shows.
And shout out everybody for getting in touch at foobarradio.com. We love you. Big shout out to Nathan, Caton for coming through.
Thanks
you enjoyed
for having
yourself?
Me, man. Yeah, it's been fun, man. Cheers.
Good man, good man. And you can catch Jason, don't forget. Jason, Nathan. Wednesday the 7th, that's tomorrow, 99 Club. The comedian, oh, he's not at the comedian. Thursday the 15th at the store. Friday the 16th, he's at the store again. And the boat show, too. So make sure you catch him. Very funny man. Thanks, guys.
Are there any web links that you would like to share and shout out?
NathanCaton.com. That's NathanCaton. And I'm on Twitter and Facebook.
Yes. Boom. So hit up the funny man. Definitely go catch him at one of these live shows. Thank you so much for tuning in. Remember, you can check the podcast if you've missed any of our previous Sarah Hugh and Dr. Two shows. Get involved.
Download
and
podcast,
yeah, we
man.
Look forward to being with you next week, Tuesdays, 4 till 6 p.m. SHD at foodbarradio.com. Peace.
Love you, bye.
Thanks, Nathan.